Anybody been doing really well, let's say for a year, two, three, four, 5 years, and all of a sudden something you haven't done in years, all of a sudden out of nowhere, comes back to your mind? We have to realize this morning that we have a true problem. And here it is. Unsatisfied hearts are easily deceived. Unsatisfied hearts are easily deceived. Think about it like this. When you're young, you kind of start dating around and you're dating these different people and everything's going well. You're in a good relationship. But then one of you begins to be bored. You're just not satisfied anymore. And so you begin to think, well, I'm going to break up. There's got to be something better. And so you break up and man, you go out and you keep going from relationship to relationship and you never can be satisfied. No matter how hard you try, maybe two, three, four, five marriages into life. And yet you're still not satisfied. You see, it all started back when you thought a relationship with a person with the opposite sex would fix all of life's issues. Well, those of you that have been married long enough, you know that being married to the opposite sex actually creates what? Issues, right? It's like, man, I thought this was going to fix it. Nope, didn't happen. Instead, what happens? There's greater issues. Things that you didn't even know would crop up. Things that you didn't even have a clue would come out. And next thing you know, man, this isn't even at all what I thought. Well, guess what? That's life. And that is why we cannot depend upon life or any relationship we have with another human being to be what satisfies us. And what takes place is that our hearts become very unsatisfied and we begin to look around and try to figure out, well, what could I do to make life better? How in the world can I do things better? Well, guess what? Eve. Man, she doesn't even know what sin is. Her body still, everything perfect, everything just the way it was supposed to be. Adam still, everything the way it was supposed to be. Their life still as it should be. And all of a sudden, one thing, one moment of doubt, one moment of I wonder, one moment of is that really what he said? One moment of unsatisfied heart. And Eve receives the fruit and she eats. Can I tell you this morning why this is important? Because all of us have that forbidden thing that if we're not careful, will come up in our life at the worst moment, at our weakest moment. And guess what happens? Just like Eve, what do? We fall into sin. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to begin here with verse number 1. Genesis 3, beginning with verse number 1. Let's stand together as we read from God's Word, in honor of God's Word. This is a very important passage of Scripture because we actually find here how Satan works. How he begins to get into your life and make you begin to wonder, am I really satisfied? Is this really all there is to life? Is this really all there is to a relationship with God? Is this really the church for me? Are these really the people for me? Oh, I've got to go out and find a new place. What we want to go to the new church, the one that's happening now. This is what happens in life. We began to be tempted in all different ways because Satan shows up, but he never shows up as Satan. He always shows up as something else. Let's look at this. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you what? Die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Can I just share this with you? I wish I knew nothing about evil. You with me? Man, I wish all we knew was good. I wish all we knew was pre-fall. That would be awesome if we were all still living in the pre-fall. But unfortunately, folks, we are living in a fallen world. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, listen, nowhere in Scripture did it say it wasn't good for food. Did y'all know that? It never said it. Don't eat that. It's bad fruit. No, it never said that. All it said was don't eat from there. So she looks at it and says, well, it looks good. That it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. Y'all remember David? Anybody remember David? Y'all remember what fruit he saw that looked good? What was her name? Bathsheba. He ate that and ruined the whole thing, didn't he? And a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. You women been treating us bad all ever since. Man, good grief. Amen. Wow. Somebody's not going home today. All right. Now, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, real quick, he didn't have to wonder where they were. He's God. What he was getting them to do was admit, we're hiding. We heard that you were coming. Heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, whoa, hold up. That's Tom's added part. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent, what? Deceived me and I ate. Father God, may we be satisfied with you. Lord God, may we come to a place of not just satisfaction, but Father God, absolute dependence upon you. Speak to our hearts, God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at this scripture that we just went through. And we're going to look at this together, kind of dissect it, and really look at our problem. First of all, the first thing I want you to notice is that when Satan shows up, he doesn't show up as Satan does. He doesn't announce his presence. Hey, I'm the devil. Can I be honest with you? Wouldn't that be really good if that's how he showed up in your life? Because you would know to do what at that point? Run. You'd be like, flee. Okay, you'd be getting out of there because, man, I don't want to be caught with the devil. The problem is, man, Satan looks really, really good. At this point, listen, the serpent, we don't really know what he looked like at this point. We don't know for sure because it wasn't until after this that, what, God put him on his where? Belly. So we're not exactly positive exactly how he approached her, but we know that he approached her and she did not run from him, but instead she listened. Why? Because he didn't announce, hey, I'm the devil. Satan never shows up in your life to let you know that he's there. Instead, he does it in little subtle ways, little things that he knows will grab your attention. Satan knows some of those weaknesses that you have, and he can show up. How many of you, and I know y'all are going to laugh, but it's okay. This is a perfect picture, all right? How many of you have ever been on a diet? Raise your hand. You ever been on a diet? All right? How many of you have done good for like 2 or 3 weeks on that diet, right? Oh, man, I'm 2 or 3 weeks in. I'm doing good. I haven't had, you know, this or that, and I'm doing really well, and I can walk right by that chocolate cake. Just walk right on by. No big deal. But you see, my weakness isn't chocolate cake. Somebody said fried chicken. Yeah. Yeah, like you know your preacher or something. Come on. I'll go with that because that just so happens to be one of my favorite things. I have to admit that. But I'm telling you, I said fried cholesterol. I'll try it. I'm just telling you. Here's the deal, though. We've all done really good. We walk by this thing over and over and over again, and we don't really like it. That's not our thing. However, after being off and doing so well for so long, what begins to happen to that chocolate cake that I don't really care for? It begins to look a whole lot better than it ever has. Well, not only that, but it's not that I don't like chocolate cake. It's just that I prefer strawberry cake. But since there's no strawberry here, I've been really good for a while. I think it's time. It'll be okay. Anybody ever said that? It will be okay? Can I tell you that is the beginning of the fall? Remember what she said. The Bible said it looked good to her eyes. It looked, the fruit looked right. It looked good. There were, man, that what's wrong with that fruit? We can't eat that? What's the problem here? When we continually walk around the sin we can't have, we are tempting ourselves. She knew that she couldn't have the fruit from that tree. Why even be around the tree? Why even put herself around the tree? There was plenty of room in the garden. She could have been anywhere else, but no, she went by the tree. Well, guess what? Satan had begun to recognize her route, don't you think? He knew where she was headed. He knew when she was coming. So let's just set this thing up. He's there waiting on her, and here's what he does. He doesn't just call her out to go, hey, you ought to sin with me. He doesn't show her, oh, this is going to hurt. No, instead, he begins to get her to question the authority in her life. How many of you remember as a child when you first questioned the authority of your parents? You remember how harsh your parents were, I hope. They laid down the law. They let you know real quick who the authority was. Here, Satan whispers in her ear to question the authority. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, that's not how God put it, was it? He's got her thinking. He's got her wondering. He's got her heart to think, am I truly satisfied? Is this really all I need? Am I really all that I can be? Oh, listen, I'm so tired of hearing these preachers talk about all. You just need to understand, you should be all this and more. Let me tell you something. I don't want to be more. I just want to be who God called me to be. It's the more part that I get myself in trouble with. I've got to learn to be satisfied with who God made me to be. But he gets to thinking, is that really what God said? Is this really how God put it? So he kind of changes the wording around. And we notice some things. Again, I'm going to go back to this. Notice, Satan disguises his appearance. He never reveals the whole truth. All right? How many of you in here, your life, and I don't want you to be embarrassed by it, but I'm going to be able, I will personally raise my hand with this, okay? How many of your lives have been altered due to some sin you did years ago? Okay. Think about that. When you did the sin, had you known how your life would be altered, wouldn't you have done it differently? Satan doesn't tell you the whole story. Satan doesn't tell you the whole story. He shows up disguised in a way to make it look good. What's wrong with this fruit? Well, it looks good. It was a question that started the conversation off, and it was the correction of God that Eve fell for. First of all, can I say, we don't correct God. Amen? Matter of fact, God is the authority, the only authority that matters, and the final authority of our life. And yet, what Satan does is he begins to make her question the authority of God. He begins to make her wonder, is that really what he said? Is this truly who God is? That this God that spoke to you, how could he hold that fruit back? Look, it looks good. I can only imagine the conversation that he had. And I'm not going to interject any of my imagination here. What God put in the word is enough. He made her question God's authority. And she fell. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and 8. If you ask this question, it is a real good moment in your life. You need to think. If you ask this question right here, will it be worth it? Will it be worth it? You ever looked at sin and thought, just this one time? Who's going to know? There's been a lot of marriages end based upon those very thoughts and those very words. Would it be worth it? She looks at it. It looks good. I mean, what? There's nothing wrong. Matter of fact, it looked probably just as good as the rest of the fruit throughout the garden. But it's the forbidden thing that we are driven to. And I'm not going to go into detail here at all. 5 years old, my life changed. 5. That's the first time I ever saw pictures I should have never seen. 5 years old. Growing up, you struggle as a kid. There's a battle for your heart. Satan knows exactly how to get every single person. He knows how to put it out there in front of us. He knows what to do. You try being 5, being confused, not having a clue what you're seeing. But yet on the inside, you knew what? That it was wrong. Because God had put within even a 5-year-old the sense to know this is not good. But I'm going to tell you something. We all see things. And when you're around it so much, guess what? You don't feel the burden like you used to. You ask an alcoholic, someone who's truly an alcoholic, and they know they're an alcoholic, and they're trying to be free from alcohol. You ask them, can you go to the bar today and be free from alcohol? What are they going to tell you? Absolutely not. When they get in trouble is whenever they say, oh yeah, I can go to the bar and be free from alcohol. Now they've what? They've lied to themselves. They've fallen into sin because the next step is going to be that first drink. I'm telling you, everything that you see around you that you should not have, Satan is going to make sure. He's not going to tell you that it's him. He's going to make absolutely sure that it looks really, really good. Best friend from college grew up for quite a bit of time in Vegas. He has no desire to go back to Vegas. He lived there. His dad was a minister there in Vegas for a while. He said, Tom, there's nothing for me in Vegas. Nothing. He knows what's there. He sees what's there. He knows what's happening. And for him, he made a choice. I'm not going back there. There's nothing for me to go to. The allure of what is in Vegas is there, but what they don't tell you is all the stories that go along with it. The casino over Louisiana. I know the guy that has to talk people off the ledge. I know him. He is there, Alabama Coachella. That's in my hometown of Livingston. That's where the tribe actually is. And they have people from the tribe that went to school. Those are the people that are there counseling these folks after they lose everything. And they're trying to talk them off of a ledge of a building where they're about to jump. Or they're trying to talk them off from having to keep fixing to shoot themselves, do something. They're doing, what do we do? Why? Because somebody saw something that looked good. And it ended badly. This is our life. This is the battle we face. Satan makes sure to make sin look like what? Something beautiful. David looked at Bathsheba. Man, she looks good. He should have moved his eyes immediately. She was in in a tub bathing, and he should have immediately said, no, I can't look at that. But instead, the Bible says he looked up on her. In other words, he gazed at her. Then he inquired about her and said, hey, who is she? And they said, this is the wife of Uriah. Now that in itself should have done what? It should have made him run. He should have been running. Nope, don't want that. No, instead he said, bring her to me. He brings her to her. They're together. She comes up with child. You say, well, it could have been her husband's. Nope, he was out fighting the king's battle. He was at war where the king was supposed to be. Well, David's got to fix it. What David should have done at that point, you ready? If you're in sin right now, you're in trouble, I want you to listen to me. The best thing you can do is confess it, open up about it, and get it over with. Had David done that, Uriah would not have lost his life. But instead, David thought, man, I got to fix this. Uriah wouldn't do what David wanted him to do, which was to go home. Uriah was like, nope, sorry, I can't go home. My men and my fellow brothers are out fighting. I refuse. I'll sleep on the porch. So David thought, well, if I can't get him to go in there to be with her, I got to kill him. So David puts Uriah up on the battle and tells his main man, when you're in the fiercest of the battle, you pull everybody back. Because he knew the heart of Uriah. Uriah wasn't going to pull back. Uriah was going to be all about it. Like, I'm fighting for my king. I'm fighting for my country. I'm fighting for my people. And he knew that Uriah's heart would not allow him to retreat. And he said, I want everybody to retreat and leave Uriah there. And the Bible says that Uriah was struck down fighting the king's battle, the very king who had taken his wife from him. You think you're above sin? One of the greatest men to ever set his feet upon this ground fell to sin. David. Moses had anger issues. Peter had a quick temper. Do you not think Satan knows how to push buttons? We have a problem. Our hearts are not satisfied. We want more. It looks good. Brother Tom, you don't understand. You don't get it how I feel. Here's the problem with Eve. Just like the rest of human history, Eve wouldn't be satisfied to be alone in her sin. Y'all ever notice when somebody's really angry, they want everybody else to be angry with them? Right? So what do? We add people to our sin problem. We don't want to be there alone, so we go and gather as many as we can. So here's her husband. What does she do? Hey, honey, look at this. It's so good. The Bible doesn't say she had to search for him, does it? What does it say? He was with her. He knew what she had done, and then he took of the fruit and he ate. That's the problem with sin. We're never satisfied with just being alone in our sin. We want to bring others in with us. But she gave to her husband. He just freely ate. All right, so we have this picture of them. This is a terrible picture, I know, but it's the best I can come up with. And trust me, he didn't want to see the others. All right, so we got all this. This is them. You get an idea, he's eating the fruit. The moment, listen to me, the moment that he disobeyed God, the Bible says that sin entered through the first Adam. Death came because of the first Adam. We got a problem. We look at Adam and we go, man, if that had been me, no, if that had been you, you'd have done the same thing. Right? Anybody in this room without sin? No. I've said this a dozen times in this pulpit, if not more. You watch a little child throw a fit. It is natural. Right? They get it after one of y'all. Okay? And as pastor, I can watch your family and figure out which one of y'all it is pretty quick. Okay? I mean, Megan's just like her mama. But hey, where are we going today? We're in the same boat now. All right. If you would turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11, we're going to hurry. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse number 10. They're getting ready to go in and possess a new land. They're going to go in and take the promised land. They've come out of Egypt. The great things are happening. They're getting ready to go in and really do some great things. And God is going to set forth some important things. All right? Verse number 10. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come. Where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven, and a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. In other words, this is a blessed place. You ever looked at somebody, ask them how they are, and they go, I'm blessed? They ain't got a clue what that means half the time. Here's what it means. To truly have God's hand. You ever met somebody who, you, without a doubt, man, God's hand is on that person? It's amazing to see somebody like that. Verse 13, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain, the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil, and I will send grass in your fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Did you catch what happened? God said, listen, if you obey, here is what will happen. The blessing on this land will continue. But if you are deceived, in other words, when you become unsatisfied, when you no longer think that what I have for you is the best, at that very moment, my anger will be what? Aroused. It will all of a sudden spring up. It's going to happen. And you will not have a clue that it's coming. But I'm warning you. I'm warning you that if you are deceived, pretty much it would have been better for you to just stay in Egypt. I want you to think about this. God knows the human heart. He knows that we are easily deceived. So he's warning you, be faithful. Be faithful. Because if you're not, here's what's going to happen. You know what else the Bible tells us about people like this? Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. You don't want God? Fine, there's another place for you. Plenty of room. Does that almost sound harsh? But it's the truth. Hell is plenty large because man is easily, what? Deceived. You know what? Y'all ought to write this down and put it on your refrigerator. Right along with me. This ought to be on all of our refrigerators to remind us of something. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want a heart that is easily deceived. How do I fight this? Brother Tom, we got a problem. Yes, I agree. We can be carried away with sin so quick. What do I do? I'm glad that you asked that question because I have an answer. Psalm 119, verse 104 says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You ready? You got to learn to hate what the devil offers you. That's important. You can't kind of hate what the devil offers you. You got to absolutely hate what the devil offers you. Brother Tom, you don't understand, it's really bad at my house, and this other person over here, they really treat me good, and I believe that if I was married to them, life would be so much better. Brother Tom, you don't understand, the job that I have now, it's really hard. It's tough. And this over here is a lot easier. I mean, yeah, it's not quite on the up and up, but it's okay because it'll make my life easier. That's Satan setting us up for a fall. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep what? Your righteous judgments. The only way for us to be prepared for our problem is if we are completely given to God and His Word. Do you know God's Word? Can you hide His Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him? Are His precepts your understanding? Are they teaching you to hate every false way? Is God's Word a lamp to your feet and a light to your path? Have you sworn and confirmed that you will keep your righteous judgments, God's righteous judgments? See, this is something you have to do every single day. I have a friend of mine whose daughter struggles greatly with a particular drug in her life. So much so that she has lost numerous jobs due to this very thing. Currently, she's doing pretty good. She's clean. But I say that currently because last time she was clean for about 10 years. But one day when things began to go south in her life, guess what began to call her? She remembered how by taking that particular thing, she could kind of leave reality. It was her coping mechanism. So she ran straight back to that particular drug. Right now, she's doing good. I had an opportunity to talk with her. I said, "Where's your family going to church?" "Well, we're really not." My question to her was this: how long can your addiction handle that? If that sounded harsh to you, it's not harsh. It's the reality of someone who has an addiction. Being clean is not as good as being saved. Amen? With salvation, the Holy Spirit of God gives me strength to overcome the temptation that is there. Here's the good news. If you know you have a struggle, I know a God who is greater than your struggle. But you got to be willing to admit you got the struggle. And who do you admit that to? It starts out sometimes just you and God. You and your family. But I'm telling you that whatever your struggle is, God is greater. The good news also is this: God took and still used a broken man named David, a confused man named Solomon. A lot of you are like, "Well, Solomon confused? Like, he was the wisest man ever." Yeah, but he was really too dumb to follow his own wisdom. Which is sad. But how many of us are like that? God is greater than whatever has you. But you got to admit it. You got to give it. And you got to trust God with it. That's the only way it works. Aren't you thankful for a God who didn't look at us and go, "I'm done with you"? Isn't that good to know? God says, "If you will call upon me, I will be there." Let's stand together. Father, we thank you that you are the God that we can count on. That we are, you are the God that we can depend upon. And you are the God that we can be completely satisfied with. We need nothing else. There is nothing else to look for. There is no new search. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are all we need. And anyone in this room who doesn't know that until didn't know that until today, may they come and simply say, I'm ready to trust God because he is all I need. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name.